podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's all live up the Reds. What an afternoon, what a morning, what a day, what a 24 hours. Liverpool are looking brilliant in the Champions League. Jürgen Klopp looks like he's signing a new deal. I'm joined by Gareth Roberts, by Robbie O'Neill and Chloe Bloxham. And Gareth, I mean, it might need to get in, you know.
It might do. I semi did one upstairs, but to be honest with you, just before, because I think, you know, although it was a way off when Jürgen was going to go, if he was going to go, I think it's all been in the back of our minds a little bit, hasn't it? And we've had a few conversations on air, and people have asked when we've done those shows where you can ask questions. You know, like people have said, well, what happens when Klopp goes? Yeah. And, you know, we talked about, would it be Linders and could it be Gerrard and all of this kind of thing. And like whatever option you'll ever come up with, I think the bottom line was you'd always just thought, I wish it was just Klopp, you know. I don't want him to go. And now it appears he's not going to go. It appears that he's signing an extra 2 years. Obviously, Ornstein's done it on The Athletic. I'm still waiting for the rest of the crew to report it, which is slightly strange. But I'm guessing he wouldn't have gone ahead with it if he didn't think it was happening. But no, it's brilliant news for Liverpool. I just think on every level, I think, you know, obviously right now it's brilliant news. It gives everyone a boost, the fans, the players, everyone involved at the club, but also in terms of what they're going to do next, what they're going to do this summer, what they're going to do in terms of buying players, what they're going to do in terms of keeping players. You know, is this the thing that Mo was referring to when he was saying there are other things going on and it's not just money? Is it that? Is it like, you know, if you want me to tie my future to Liverpool, I want the manager to be here as well. And now that that's happened, does that mean that will happen?
I mean, whatever happens next, it's just brilliant news, Chloe, isn't it? It's fantastic that, you know, one of the best managers in the world, if not the best, you know, one of the best managers in our history, if not the best, is signed up for another 4 years. It shows how much he's enjoying it. It shows how much he believes in everything that's going on. And yeah, the last 4 years has been brilliant, but I think the next four might be even better.
Yeah, I think the next four, we might have the chance to be the best team of the 2020s. It's brilliant because from a Liverpool perspective, everyone was trying to live in the moment, but you could always see the end with the things that he was coming out saying, you know, like he just, once it's happened, he doesn't see himself re-signing a deal. And like, even though you're in the midst of absolute magic, what you're watching, you did have that feeling of, what are we going to do in a year's time when this is coming to an end? Like, I'm going to be heartbroken. And now we've got him till, well, what's being reported, 2026. I'd take him for my entire life, to be honest. If he'd signed that contract, I'd be really, really happy, which he obviously won't. He needs some downtime after it all with all the stress of what managing a football club can do. But yeah, it's just brilliant. He's the biggest stature in this club right now. He's the only contract that really should be cared about in this moment. Once he's done, all the others can come in from behind. But yeah, it's just boss to see him and have that connection with the manager for another 4 years.
I mean, it is the biggest news, Robbie, isn't it? It's the best thing we could have hoped for today. And as Chloe says, you know, there's players we'd love to see re-sign. There's players we'd love to see join Liverpool. But he's the absolute main fella, isn't he? And 4 more years is so much to be celebrated.
Absolutely. It's kind of like the momentum that's coursing through the club at the minute. You know, it's undeniable. And I think the timing of this, I don't think it's coincidental at all. I think, you know, winning last night, got a big game on Saturday. Every game's a big game moving forward, as we know. I wouldn't be surprised if he's thought, tough game Saturday, everyone's buzzing off last night, let's just up the ante again, get a bit of more positivity out there. I mean, like, the WhatsApp group I'm in, some of the emojis that are going off in there, man, if you can see them, like, seriously. It's like, everyone's buzzing. Like, the performance last night.
The Blues aren't.
One of many more woes. but like the performance last night was astonishing. You know, we overcome like tough first half and they've been brilliant. And then to wake up today, see that news that they were in talks about it and then bang, it's sorted. It's like fucking hell. You know, what next? You know what I mean? It really is. I genuinely, I'm 36 years of age and I cannot remember a time where I felt more positive like about being a Liverpool fan and just everything around the club feels rosy. You know what I mean? And you never want to say shit like that because you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot, but it's just like one brilliant thing after another at the minute, and long may it continue.
Robbie said loads of good things there, Robbo. Right at the top, talked about this momentum that we feel like we're on at the moment. And, you know, when we first started having conversations about quadruple, like, it wasn't quite a joke, but it was a bit like, oh, I imagined, you know what I mean? We could do that. And then every week, it's just got a little bit more and more possible. And in a way, this doesn't matter to us that because Jürgen was going to be manager till the end of the season anyway, and he still is. But it does sort of start to feel like it's all part of this, like, surge that Liverpool are on that, you know, might end up making us unstoppable.
Yeah, absolutely. It does because, you know, where we are still, you know, about to go into May, still with a sniff of absolutely winning everything. And you know, you look around at, like, traditional rivals and how they're struggling to get a manager in that suits them or is going to take them in the right direction. I mean, you know, Man United have gone and got another manager and no one seems that convinced. You know, you're looking at what he's done and you're like, meh. Like, you've got so much to deal with, mate. Like, all the best. Whereas, you know, this fella, Klopp's come in, turned us round, kept his promises, as the song goes. And, you know, it's right through the club with Klopp. You know, we've had other managers who've come in and, like, you know, they might do a bit with the first team, but you never thought they were that engaged with the whole club. Like, you know, the youth football and that kind of stuff. Like Hodgson, for instance, I'll always throw him under the bus happily, and I'll do it again right now. He never went down to watch the kids. He didn't get involved with any of that. Whereas Klopp was down there straight away getting involved. And he, you know, he's done all the stuff that we've talked about so many times, the pathway to the first team and all that, give people opportunities. He's continued to do that. And I think there was a thing for me as well where, you know, I was thinking about where we're at and where we're going. I know Neil's talked about it as well. You know, the idea that the squad, not so long back, you had a tiny worry at the back of your mind where you were like, is it getting a bit old together, this squad? And like, what are we doing about it? What's happening? And then all of a sudden, you know, we've got Jota in, we've got Diaz in, we've got Konate in, we've got the lads coming from Fulham in the summer as well. And no doubt there are other deals in the pipeline. And it now feels like not only have we benefited from one Klopp squad and seeing you know, the fruits of that, he's now agreed a new deal, and meanwhile this other squad is now starting to build alongside that one back, you know, to use a Rodgers thing about, you know, flying the plane and building it. Well, that's what's going on, and I wouldn't want anyone else to fly it other than Klopp. You know, you look around the world football, genuinely, if the announcement today, you know, God forbid, but if the announcement today had been he's going, who would you go and get? And I don't think there's anyone where you'd be that convinced personally right now that it would be the perfect fit for Liverpool, whereas we know Jürgen is. And I'm made up in every way. I'm made up that, you know, his family have given him the pass as well, because, you know, there must have been something in his missus's head and his kids and that, where they were like, okay, we get our husband back, our dad back, and, yeah, you know, and that kind of thing. So, you know, you've got to sort of throw it out there that they must love it as well, that, you know, they must be convinced this is right for him. And, you know, he looked back to, he was a shadow of himself last year. And he was dealing with the stuff we were all dealing with, the COVID situation. But, he, you know, there was situations with his family and not being able to get out to a funeral, wasn't there? And all of that kind of stuff. There was the fact that, you know, Liverpool were falling apart in front of his eyes. And, you know, we didn't have any defenders and all of that stuff. And the grimness of football without fans. And I think at that stage, you know, he wouldn't have been signing anything. But he looks a man transformed. He looks a man with, you know, he's got that fire in his eyes again. And again, that's exciting, because what's being said behind the scenes that he's going, all right, I signed the deal.
Yeah.
Like, does this mean big money stars are coming in? You know, does it mean he must be convinced?
Yeah.
You know, by the general vision, the general direction of Liverpool to sign again, because he must also know that if he just wanted to stay in football, there are other jobs he can go and get tomorrow. So again, it just makes it feel brilliant to be a Red and brilliant at the future of Liverpool as well. It's superb.
It shows as well, Chloe, he's got the energy for what's ahead. And that was a phrase that you used when they were talking about a new deal and he was asked about it. And he said, well, I'll see if I've got the energy for the project. And, you know, I think he sees things outside of football, and I think he quite fancied a bit of a break and just to go on holiday and see a bit of the world and not be Jürgen Klopp Liverpool manager for a while. But what this shows to me is that, you know, not just that he wants to stay, but he wants to stay and win. He wants to stay and fight. He wants to conquer. you know, everything that's out there. You know, if we win everything this year, he wants to win it again. And it's his appetite for football and his appetite for doing everything that we want to do over the next 4 years. That's just making me really excited, because it's not just, oh, okay, it's I'll stay, because he'd never do that. It's I'm going to stay and I'm going
to
win.
So just to interrupt as well, David Maddock is adding more meat to the bones, and he says, there's an option for longer. Get it!
Is it forever? An option for forever, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jürgen Klopp is what he's done for English football, but what he's done more for Liverpool Football Club. I don't think he can ever understand what he's done for us as fans. He can try and understand it, and he's probably got a bit of knowledge on the situation, but I don't think he understands just how deep it goes. He is absolutely adored with every essence of my body and every essence of every Liverpool fan's body. You know, there's not many lengths that Liverpool fans wouldn't go to, you know, save Jürgen Klopp and keep him at Liverpool. And I think maybe after last year, he looked at it and thought to himself, okay, how many more years of this can I deal with things that he's gone on mentally behind the scenes? So, you know, I think now when he's got fans back in the stadium, he knows what it's like. You know, it's a case of he's literally knowing what it's like to have those fans back on board. He knows the crowd. He knows we're there with him, and he's breathing and living in every single second, and that makes him want to go again and again and again. And we're happy that he's going to go again and again and again.
There's a kid in the chat here asking to get in your WhatsApp group, Robbie. He's left
his number. Chance.
Oh, bet there's some lively boys in that group is all I'm saying, from someone who's had nights out with you and all that. But there's a few lively customers, but I'm sure they're all buzzing, because that's what every Liverpool fan around the world is doing, Robbie. And look, we didn't think it could get any better. That's the best thing, isn't it? You know, we've all been saying it's the best team. You know, we've known, you know, it's the best squad, it's the best time. They're going for something that's unprecedented, even within this football club. And just when you think it can't get any better, yeah, and just goes, yeah, have a slice of this. What a man.
Man. I was reading something this morning, like not yet this morning, yesterday, about the last time we played Villarreal, you know, and when you think of that first season when he came in and how he was coming, you know, the cultural overhaul that he's had to put into place, and not just like from a playing perspective, but when you think about his early interactions with us as a fan base, you know, we've just done, like, you know, the early part of the 2010s, we'd had Roy Hodgson, then we'd had Cowboy owners, we've got new owners who we weren't quite sure about. We have Kenny back for a bit, then we have Brendan Rodgers having a midlife crisis while he's our manager, and then you've got Klopp, You see him trying to come to terms with, like, what we are as a fan base and having a go at us for leaving early and stuff like that because the traffic's bad on Wattenbrecht Road or whatever. And now you just see this, like, total, like, this, it's like this symbiosis between us and him. You know what I mean? It's like you've got, like, the song. I mean, I've seen it in the comments. Everyone's referencing the song. There is no doubt in my mind that things like that song have influenced, like, his thinking in this kind of thing. Because you've seen the video of his missus on the concourse at City, and she's loving it, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm not one of these people, me, that like fully subscribes with the whole idea of the LFC family, because I feel like it's a bit of a marketing gimmick. But if you scratch underneath that slogan, it is something. It is something to be a Kloppite, and it means something. And he gets that more than, I mean, I used to think Rafa Benitez really got it, but The way I feel Jürgen gets it, it's the fucking energy that courses through Liverpool. Am I allowed to swear? I just swore. I don't know if I am, but if I...
Yeah, go for it. That's also great.
but he gets that energy that courses through Liverpool in a way, like, I don't think I've ever seen from a manager. You can't really verbalise what he is. It is communion. Sorry, the comments are flashing up and you see it, and it's just, that's exactly what it is. It's like this Dionysian fucking festival every week with him, you know what I mean? Call him a cheerleader, and he is. He's like this godlike cheerleader, and he's just conducting all of us to do his bidding. And I'm in awe of the man. I absolutely am. I'm fucking buzzing. 10, 11 years of Gagan.
Any more good news coming for you, Gareth? Any everyone absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happened is I think there was wind, obviously, that something was happening, and then obviously Ornstein's contact, whoever that may be, has given me enough that he's gone on it, and now everyone else is trying to go to their contacts and find other bits. And yeah, I just quickly read Maddox's piece, and it's a lot of what we've been saying. But you know, there's this line in there that, you know, it could possibly be longer as well. I think, you know, one bit we haven't said as well is the importance of that. It's not just Klopp, it's everyone around Klopp as well. Because, you know, I for one have been like really impressed by Linders all the way through this. And, you know, been fortunate enough to sort of meet him briefly and things like that as well. I just think he's a really impressive man and, you know, obviously knows his stuff. I remember speaking to Milner about him as well and saying, you know, what's he like? And he just sort of said, like, his football mind's like unbelievable, and you know, the detail, the sessions he comes up with, all of this kind of stuff. So, you know, to have him stay in put as well, and for Klopp to have his team around them, it really feels like sort of Liverpool have gone to every effort to make sure that Klopp doesn't go here, really. You know, they even built this little court so we could have his game of blag tennis and that. Do you know what I mean? So,
they're all factors. It's like Robbie said, they're all factors.
But, you know, they've absolutely pushed the boat out. And we have as well. And you know, like it got mentioned there, didn't it, about the song and stuff like that. Like, you must feel that. And also as well, like when you've got a belter squad and a belter side and a team that's, you know, stood on the precipice of making absolute football history here, like you must think, well, why would they hand the keys of this to someone else?
Yeah.
Like, I'll have this. This is all right. Do you know what I mean? And you know, they must quite like living here and things like that, because again, that all comes into it, doesn't it? You know, you only have your career once, and like every day that you're doing whatever you're doing, well, you could be doing something else, and you know, that will cross your mind at certain junctures and all that. So that must be crossing his mind. You know, could it be here, there? Could it be somewhere else sunnier? And equally, I'm sure, you know, the conversations happen at the Klopp household sometimes, but clearly they've gone, do you know what? We're absolutely loved here. This club's brilliant. It's going. And like, you know, look at that statue of Bill Shankly. There's going to be one of me here. There's going to, you know what I mean? Because he's got the chance to, I think we all thought as Reds that, you know, we've seen some glory days, but perhaps we don't ever see those glory days. Like, you know, the Bob Paisley-esque years and stuff like that. Whereas it genuinely feels like we could be about to do something like that. And okay, there's the ball lake of City and the fact that they won't fuck off. But, you know, nevertheless, like, you know, like next season, if you were handing me a betting slip now and saying, could Liverpool be in exactly the same situation as they're in now then? Well, I'd be like, yeah, I'd stick some money on that, because they're not going anywhere. The squad's brilliant. The squad's only going to get better. There's lads kicking around as well that you feel like can contribute at a future point. You know, the targets that we're linked with as well, the situation around Mo, all of that just makes me think, yeah, we'll absolutely be there next year. We're not going away anytime soon. And now the manager's not going away anytime soon either. But all just saying the same thing over and again. It's brilliant. Watch this. Get in.
Chloe, Gareth made the point before about the right manager, and that's crucial here, isn't it, to what it's been so successful, why Jürgen's loved it so much, and why the football club has been so perfect for him. He's just the right fit for us, and that's what excites me so much, is that there are other good managers out there, but they wouldn't necessarily be right for Liverpool, and it wouldn't necessarily be a fit. And you know, our friends at Old Trafford have seen that. You know, they've hired every different type of manager. They've gone for young, old, experienced, you know, fiery, calm, you know, the people who are meant to, you know, make players feel good, people who are meant to put the foot down and be the disciplinarian, and they've not got it right. And, you know, we'll see what happens with this new guy, but there's already rumourings that, you know, players aren't going to like certain things he does. We don't have to worry about that, any of that, because we don't just know that we've got a brilliant manager, we know we've got a perfect manager for us. And I think that's how he feels the other way around as well. He looks at Liverpool Football Club and goes, this is the perfect place for me, this is where I want to manage. These people understand my values, my football, and how I want to play. And it's just this perfect relationship that, when you put it like that, was always going to continue.
Yeah, exactly. I think he fits the city as well, doesn't he? Every single value of a Liverpool fan or someone based in the city, Liverpool fans all around the world, he connects with. He understands them from the first second he came in. He set the rules. what he says on everything, I just drink it in, no matter what it is. Everything he says, he articulates his words perfectly, and he's not even native speaking English. It's incredible because he explains things, you know, we can talk about politics, everything that he does, and he explains it so well that even I couldn't do that. And yet he's there and he's not English, but he says it so well. And he just understands us like no other manager. I don't think anyone can come in and it's a bit like Steven Gerrard with that kind of role of Steven Gerrard's very, very hard to, you know, kind of make, like with Jordan Henderson, he could never do what Steven Gerrard does because Steven Gerrard is Steven Gerrard. Jürgen Klopp, no one will ever be able to live up to what he is. And he's an individual for this club that no one will ever be able to reach just because of what how he blends into the city. It's like he's from here. And my word is, I don't even have words to explain what he's done for Liverpool fans. And it's absolutely boss to see that he's willing to stay another 4 years.
Just to finish up for this part and just talk a little bit about last night. Part one was meant to be about Liverpool 2 Villarreal 0. It's been sort of sidetracked into something else. But in many ways, Robbie, last night was the sort of, I wouldn't say consummate Jürgen Klopp performance because there's been so many sort of fantastic nights under him. But it was a perfect demonstration of everything that he's about. The high press and the intensity, the speed with which we turn one goal into two. You know, the fact that, you know, they've talked after the game about feeling suffocated by Liverpool and with the ball and without it, you know, we just showed everything that Klopp's been building towards. The fact that we were able to bring top-class players off the bench is a situation that he's not necessarily always had in the past as well. And, you know, if you're looking for the reason why this is such great news for Liverpool fans and looking for the reason why Jürgen Klopp would want to stay at this football club and commit his future, then you've got the perfect example of it last night.
Absolutely. I think like one thing about last night is I think in the 6-7 years the Klopp's been at Liverpool already, I think that might be the most educated performance that I've seen from that team. The first half, because I think that the reality of it is we knew exactly what we were coming up against. And I suppose we had like a Mark II dry run on Sunday against Everton, you know, about what it was like for the team to just sit back and just try and soak up all of the pressure. And in that first half, I feel like Villarreal were doing that, but it wasn't just like we were attacking, like you say, John, it was the counter-pressing was like, that was, I think that might have been the best example of consistent counter-pressing from us that I've seen for quite some time. Do you know what I mean? It's like, in some games, we are always relatively good up with pressing, as we all know, but we were relentless last night. Like, it was wave after wave of counter-pressing. If they picked the ball up within 20, 25 yards of their goal, they'd lose it. It was just every single time. And that second half performance, it was like, I remember when the half-time whistle blew, when I never felt nerves, I was like, this could go one or two ways, yeah, but it was... there was something in me where I just thought, like, if we score, they could fall to bits. And I think the only negative regarding the night is that we didn't score more, because we could have. Because we just steamrolled them. We steamrolled them. And it lacked the chaos of, like, the early Klopp teams. It was, like, our attack and our defending, every single thing about it was cultured and educated. And it was a testament to Klopp's coaching, as well as his management. I thought it was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant. Really did.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break now. Those of you who are listening to this as a podcast are going to listen to Neil talking to Becky Ayres from Sound City about the Sound City Festival, which is going on in Liverpool this weekend. Then for everyone else, we're going to be straight back after that, looking ahead to Liverpool's trip to Newcastle, which is going to be lively for that away end now. This is a review courtesy of Audio Boom, so thanks a lot to them. And thanks a lot to Manscaped for coming back on board with the Anfield Wrap. Now, fellas, have you started spring cleaning yet? The carpets need cleaning, the drapes need dusting, and your lawn needs mowing. Spring has sprung, and the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming have the best tools for cleaning aisle 5 in your pants. Time to clear out your winter bush and join the other 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and I include myself in that. Manscaped sent me a lovely bit of kit, and listen, lads, you've got to look after yourself, haven't you? So you can too by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code WRAP. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code WRAP if you go to manscaped.com. Now, the start of spring also marks the start of Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April, and Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. Manscaped is committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35, which is a lot of you listeners, and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of their We Sell You Balls initiative. So get stuck in, get involved, and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code WRAP at manscaped.com. It's time to throw away your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life.
I'm joined by Becky Ayres of Sound City fame. First time I've seen Becky in about 2 years, and not least because, for obvious reasons, Sound City itself hasn't been able to be giving it everything it has until this year. It is a tremendous looking bill for Sound City across the course of the weekend. The Lathams on Saturday headline, and then Self Esteem on Sunday. And Self Esteem, Becky, is one hell of a book, and you must be looking forward to a big Sunday night.
I am, for so many reasons. I think Self-Esteem has just captured just the inner minds of so many people, really. You know, she's just so, her lyrics and her just delivery and her herself are just so fantastic. I think she's going to be such a special headliner for us, and I'm so delighted that she's going to be our headliner for Sunday night.
It's a really bold headline move. You say that you are delighted with it. The album is tremendous, called Prioritised Pleasure, if you haven't heard it. It's a really, really good record. It is one which should get a lot of different people from right the way across the Liverpool music scene. Everyone who's around to come to Sound City should be really, really looking forward to Sunday night.
Definitely. She is tremendous.
It's part of what I think, you know, across the course of the festival, I've actually seen you speak on panels about the importance of booking in a 50-50 way, making sure that there's sufficient diversity and as many women as headline acts, and then right the way down the bill as men. You've nailed that this year. There are some terrific female-led acts right the way through the festival. Some really, really, really good work in there. I'm thinking about people like Grandma's House in there as well. You know, it isn't just a one-off. This is something that you've committed to. Baby Queen as well. You know, you've gone all out for that this time out.
We have actually really taken it to heart, because it's such an important thing, you know, that people see the diversity that exists in everyday life on their stages. And it's so true, Neil, that the talent that exists there is just, you know, it's so obvious and palpable this year. And I think, you know, over previous years we have done this, but maybe in not such a diverse way in terms of genre, really. Because like you said, there's Self-Esteem, and then there's an artist called Pyra, who's like much more kind of electro. And then there's also Grandma's House that are more indie, and then Baby Queen's very poppy. And there's just, you know, it's a really, really exciting mix of genres of music, as well as the diversity that you see in terms of, you know, female acts.
It is all the way through. Obviously, the Lathams on Saturday, keeping up that side of the Sound City tradition, the Sound City history in there as well, exciting indie music to go right the way through, and someone like Tim Burgess as well coming and being part of it. This is massively what Sound City was built on.
It is, and I think we're really pleased to have people like Tim Burgess back, who he's a massive, massive new music fan himself. And I think, you know, you'll know from through the pandemic, his listening parties sort of came into their own, really. And he's become much more of a household name through that. And he's somebody that actually at a grassroots roots level as well is just a massive fan of new music. So we're really excited to have him back. And we're really excited to be back in the city centre of Liverpool, which is where we first started Sound City back 15 years ago. And I remember, Neil, you being at Lizzo in the shipping forecast.
Absolutely, yes.
Which was, you know, a few years ago. And that was that was incredible. You know, she's a huge artist now. She just played in that tiny 150-cap room.
So where will people be able to see the act through this weekend?
So we're using the Arts Club Theatre and Arts Club Loft as our main stage, because as many people might have heard, we actually lost our main venue, which was Grand Central Hall, a few weeks ago. So we are actually using the Arts Club, which is a really well-loved venue, but it is smaller in capacity. So people that are really keen to see the headliners should definitely get down there a few acts early just to guarantee getting in. And there'll also be venues like EBGB's, which is fab, and also Jacaranda and Phase One, which are brilliant venues, and Jimmy's as well, and the Zanzibar, which is newly reopened.
So it's both, that's nice and sprawling. People can walk from one to the other, but it's not absolutely ridiculous sort of cross-city walks. It's pretty much up and down Seal Street there, but loads and loads of different venues in there and lots for people to get stuck into.
Definitely.
Okay. Other things that I'm interested in, Feng Shui, are terrific, originally from North Macedonia, or may even still be sort of remaining there. They are the business, if you get the opportunity to catch them. They're very, very good indeed. Who are you most looking forward to seeing, other than the obvious?
I think Feng Shui for me are also one, because North Macedonia is a really exciting place for music. It's like, it's just, you know, it's, you won't find many artists on bills that come from there. There's also a band from Canada called Misha and the Spanx, who are really fantastic. They're kind of really rocky, quite grungy girl outfit who are, you know, who I really love. There's an artist called Laura Lee and the Jets as well, who, like Misha and Spanx, I think is one of our Key Change artists. Key Change is our movement that we're part of to campaign for gender equality. So they're being put on by them, and they'll be really great. There's so many actually that I could
Pyra.
Think of. Pyra is fantastic. Pyra is from Thailand.
Yep.
She's been picked up by Enemy recently. Really fated by lots of different music blogs, and she'll be headlining one of the stages, I think, at the same time as the Lathams. So she's a great alternative.
She is indeed. So many great alternatives all the way through. It's really, really interestingly booked festival this year, Sound City. Really dynamic stuff in there as well. Lots and lots of hyperpop, which, as you may or may not know, is the sort of stuff that gets me interested and excited these days. Certainly the idea of seeing some of it live, you know, I'm just too old at times, but this I can get myself out and about for this sort of thing, Becky. You will see us all over the place through Sound City. If you are about this weekend, do enjoy it. You can get tickets right now if you go to, I'll get you the proper address on that one. It is soundcity.uk.com, and from there you'll be able to buy tickets, see all the venues, plot your route through the whole festival. It's very good of Becky to come in and see us. Enjoy it if you get the opportunity to this weekend's Cut Loose in Liverpool.
And it's John Gibbons with another insert, courtesy of Audio Boom. And this is with Harry's. Now, you may think you know Harry's by now. You've been listening to us talking about them for quite a while. But it's way more than a super sharp razor company. They're here to revamp your whole routine, from close shaves and fake flake-free hair all the way to clear, healthy skin. Harry's helps guys feel good. Now, for this partnership, they're offering a free travel-sized shower gel, useful for a few trips, maybe to Paris in May, with a trial set to all our listeners to give a chance to try all the products, as well as that brilliant shave that I've been using for a while. A few of us do in the office and really enjoy it. So what is in the trial set? You get that expertly engineered weighted handle, the 1.5 blade cartridge, a handy foaming shaving gel for effective lubrication, and that shaving gel is genuinely the best I've ever used. The travel blade cover for life's adventures, plenty of that coming up with Jürgen's Reds, of course, and this free shower gel, which is just for our listeners only. As I say, a few of us, including me and Neil, use Harry's and absolutely swear by it. So if you want to get stuck in, go to harrys.com and get your trial set now for $3.95. Delivery fee, that is $3.95 delivery. So you want to go to harrys.com/wrap. That is harrys.com/wrap. Get stuck in there, enjoy your set. It is completely free. You just pay that £3.95 delivery. Thanks a lot, as ever, to Harry's for partnering us. Really appreciate it.
I think we're straight back in. We don't get the 3-2-1 on this one, do we? We are back in, looking ahead to Liverpool v Newcastle. I'll go to you first, Gareth. If you made the decision to go to Newcastle, I bet you're made up now.
Yeah, can't wait. Really excited. I think it'll be a good game. You know, Newcastle have been in fine form, certainly at home, and they've won the last four. But I wouldn't be getting too excited if you're not a Liverpool fan about anything other than a Liverpool win, nevertheless, because you know, we're looking at it today when we're doing a preview show, and you know, it's not that long ago that they got absolutely thumped by Spurs. Not that long ago that they went to Goodison Park and got beat 1-0, and we know about how bad Everton are. So I just think, I actually think it's to our advantage that it's an early kickoff. I know Klopp wanted it moved, but I think you wouldn't want to be going to Newcastle United for a 5:30 kickoff on a Saturday, for instance, when, you know, they've all enjoyed themselves in the town centre, which is literally where the ground is, and then piled into St James's Park, all told themselves what a brilliant side they've got and got get behind the side. 12:30, they won't really have had a chance to have too much of a pint, although would have passed them. But I just think, you know, it could actually be to our advantage. And I think it's a good thing that we get to play first and you know, just go top of the league. And it might only be for a few hours, but go top of the league. City go to Leeds. Leeds, at the very least, will be rabid in the ground and rabid on the pitch. And, you know, I watched them against Palace the other night, and I thought, you know, there's loads of energy there, loads of running. They outrun Palace. They were lacking in a bit of quality, but, you know, okay. But City got a bit of a run around off Madrid. Obviously, that went 4-3 and all the rest of it. So, you know, went right to the very end of the game. And I'm just hoping that they get a bit tired out, because I think one of the things about our game was, you know, that was game 55 of the season for us, Villarreal, and there was no issue there around energy at all. I totally agree with what got said before about, I thought that was the best our pressing had been for a long time. And, you know, all this really poor quality broadcast journalism today about Villarreal being a disgrace. I'd like to see Jason Kundi sign get a touch against this Liverpool side.
Oh, he'd have got off after 20 minutes, I think, trying to play against them. That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, Chloe, if you didn't, yeah, you're too young to see Jason Kundi, but fucking hell, he wouldn't have got a game for Aylward. Let me tell you, that's really tickled me, that is very true. Yeah, I mean, Newcastle doing decent form, it has to be said. You know, I spoke to Alex Hurst earlier for Team Talk Show, one of our subscriber audio shows, and he was fairly chipper as someone who's, you know, they've won the last 6 home games and last 4 in the Premier League home, and away sort of should be. But, you know, Liverpool's another level, isn't it? And Liverpool on Saturday with this news is going to be another level. And the way they're playing at the moment, the relentlessness, the drive, everything we've talked about before of this surge to what they think they can achieve, I just think they're going to have too much.
Yeah, well, I at least hope so that they do. I think Newcastle, it's going to be a tough game. I really do think that, but I think Liverpool should have enough for them. Liverpool are obviously on this kind of wave that we're just living in, and it seemed like against Villarreal, we didn't need to go out of second gear in that second half. We didn't need to use all of our energy. We could save a bit for it. We obviously didn't get that third goal, but we most definitely got a great advantage. And Anfield was bouncing, and hopefully at our away end, there'll be absolute limbs at 12:30 kickoff. But yeah, it's a case of Newcastle really good up on the rise, but this Liverpool side just don't know when they're beat. They just don't know when to stop. They'll go and go and go. And with the idea of, you know, we play before City, Leeds probably need Sutton. Not saying that they're going to get anything, but you're playing first now for at least the next couple of weeks. Just go and put the pressure on and see what happens.
Yeah, put the pressure on is what you want to see, Robbie. You know, they're going to be looking forward to the game. They're going to have to tails up a little bit, but a bit like Villarreal, who you felt like, you know, knew after 5 or 10 minutes they were in a different game to sort of what they used to, really. And listen, they beat Bayern Munich in the last round and obviously played some great teams in Spain, but you sort of sensed from Villarreal that they were thinking, oh, these are another level. And we can do similar to Newcastle, and also to the supporters there who I think, you know, if we're on it, will quickly realise that this is a level above the chumps they've been beating over the last few weeks.
Absolutely. I think, like, if we play with the intensity that we played with last night, there's nothing down for them. We've got a pretty, I mean, I've not got any stats in front of me, but from memory, we've also got a pretty good record against the Real teams. So it's one of them. I mean, the point made about the early kickoff, I feel like Gareth made, I think, could play into our hands. Like Anfield, for instance, it's never as rowdy at 12:30 on a Saturday, is it? As it is like 8:00 on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. So I think it's going to be exactly the same down there. It just depends on how much they're up for it. I know they've got their eyes on a top half finished, which would be remarkable considering how terrible they were early on.
They were bottom in December, yeah.
that's it. So the turnaround, it's some turnaround that they've gone through. But it comes down to levels, and I think there's no two ways about it. If we play to the level that we're capable of, and we play, even if we just play with the intensity that we played with the other night, not as much quality, I just think we outrun them, we out-hustle them, and we batter them.
Would you change many, Gareth? A few people have had their eye on this one as one he might rotate a little bit. It's interesting to me what he has done is just sort of change 2-3, maybe 4 each game, and rotating the same lads in and out. Do you expect them similar, or do you think it might be one or two more?
I don't think it's anything mad. I think what we're seeing now is a pattern whereby, you know, he's pretty much playing his strongest team and just rotating 1, 2, or 3. And I think it'll be the same again, because I think he just realises that how important an opportunity this is, you know, the opportunity to win the lot. You wouldn't want to sort of, you know, change like 7, put in a below par performance, and then all of a sudden you've handed the title to City and that's that done. You know, you want to keep the pressure right up, and I think the best way you keep the pressure right up is keep on playing this side. And as I say, you know, you saw the other night that there's no problem there. And I think what Robbie was on about as well, I like the way Liverpool turn the tempo up and down when they decide, basically. Yeah. So, you know, you saw in the second half that at the start of against Villarreal, they absolutely turned it up to the max. They got the 2 quick fire goals, and then they just didn't allow Villarreal to play. Then they went through a period where they were like, they let them come on a little bit, but the most they got out of that was 1 corner. And it basically had like Canati, Fabinho, Virgil, just kept winning the ball, taking it off them. And we kept the ball brilliantly, and we just took a little bit of time out in the game. And I think that's purposeful. I think that's, you know, the resting with the ball, basically, the managing these games. And, you know, they could go all out and go and absolutely trounce sides 5, 6, and 7. I've absolutely no doubt about that. But I think they're all being very careful about what they're doing. So I'm like what you said there. I keep looking at it and thinking, oh, this is the one where he maybe swaps the fullbacks, or this is the one where, you know, you see different players in midfield or whatever. You know, maybe you give Thiago a rest. I think we're all sweating about Thiago because he's such a brilliant player, and the form he's in at the moment's unbelievable. And you keep thinking, well, his age, his injury record, maybe you should take him out the firing line. But I actually think we go as strong as we possibly can, blow them away, and then once it's done, start to hopefully be able to sub people off. And there's an argument to say as well, with the 2-0 lead going to Villarreal, like, you don't want to get cocky about it, but what can they do in Spain hugely different to what they did at Anfield? They've got Moreno coming back up front, not Albi, the other one. And and you're like, I mean, if Albi was playing, you'd be made up, wouldn't you? They might go for it a bit more. Well, Sam, go for it then, and you leave space, and Liverpool will pick you off and score a goal. So I'm not too concerned about the away leg, famous last word, but I think you can change a few there, is what I'm saying. So if you change the fullbacks out there, if you change the midfield a little bit out there, knowing you had 5 subs that can make you stronger and stronger every time, if it goes a little bit wrong, I think that's where he maybe looks to be changing it, not this one. I think this one, you've got to get it done, get it won, put the pressure on City and see what Leeds United can do.
Someone mentioned the comments, Chloe, maybe Naby Keita sort of coming in. Diogo Jota is another one who come off the bench and I thought was lively. It's those type of changes that I'm envisaging, really. I think he's looked at it and gone, I've got 14 or 15 real belters here. I've got a few after that who are good players, but I've got 14 or 15 real high quality, you know, top lads. And if I can use them and just bring a few in and out when I'm trying to be clever and maybe, you know, give Divock the odd one when I can, then I think you'll be more than happy to do that for the rest of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Naby, you've obviously got Tsimikas there, who I think is absolutely brilliant as well, to give Robbo a rest. Matip, I'd say, comes back in for this.
Yeah.
Naby Keita in midfield, Jota up top. And it's who you want to give a rest to. Sadio Mane came off during the game, so maybe it's Diaz Diaz also came off. It's one of those front three that you rest for Jota. You can play, obviously, Jota can play on the left, Mane can play up top, or they can interchange. Or you can obviously have Diaz, Jota and Salah. So, it seems like there's a position everywhere which you can say, okay, I understand that change, I'm sound with that change, and we can go again. Everyone's so drilled in this side to know their role and to keep going that it'll be absolutely sound. So I expect a handful of changes, not a massive or major, But like someone said in the comments earlier, we've got 5 subs midweek that we can do against Villarreal. So it is a case of, we could actually probably do them then, couldn't we? The changes, like Gareth said. So, nothing to be worried. We've got enough players on that pitch. If I saw them in the lineup, I'd be like, sad. Not bothered. That's great.
That's it for me, Robbie. I remember I used to be sort of, you know, not, I would say, interested in the team selection. I wasn't as bad as Gutman, to be honest with you. He was casing it 8 hours before, saying if you've heard anything. Chloe's laughing. She's in the same WhatsApp groups. But, you know, you were always like, oh, I wonder if this person's fit, or, you know, is he going to pick, you know, X over Y? Whereas now you just get it an hour before, he goes, sound, yeah, fucking hell, yeah, they'll win, and then they do.
That's it. It's this, like, trust that's been built between, you know, that they've built, and they've earned it, you know what I mean? There was a time, as you say, where you look at the team and you got, there's one or two changes and you go, ah, I'm not sure about that. And even, you know, you look back at some of the teams he's put out in derbies over the last couple of years, like at Anfield, you're going, oh, fucking hell, he's pushing his luck there. But he's come through every time. He's, you know, he's made a change. They've mainly come through. And I feel like the point the club makes about the 5 subs on in the second leg is a massive one, because, you know, like we it's one of them. If things aren't going to plan in that second leg, if Villarreal do shock us, for instance, and they do put in a bit of a performance and they start causing us more problems than last night would suggest they could, we've always got the firepower on the bench to turn things around, because we can take a full squad. We can take a full squad with us, and, you know, and that's one of our strengths these days. So, yeah, you just trust whoever he puts out on the pitch. And, I mean, Gomez came in a few weeks back, played at right back, and he was brilliant. You know what I mean? And you forget that he can do a shift there, but it's one of them. Every single one of them, you've got to have faith in.
Really, absolutely. We're all feeling good about this game because, you know, well, we were anyway. The squad's excellent, but Jürgen's just signed. This is a big celebration of that. If you want much more of people being very happy Jürgen Klopp signed, make sure you subscribe into the Anfield Wrap. We did an immediate reaction to the 2:30 news. Myself, Neil Atkinson, Harriet and Josh. That is on there now. Also, I spoke to David Ornstein, who broke the announcements, broke the news at 2:30. I've already spoken to him. That is already out there as well. So absolutely loads you could want if you subscribe. So make sure you download the app. Make sure you get involved. Press subscribe. And yet listen to all that. But listen, there's going to be loads more over the next 24 hours as well. And of course, all the build-up to this massive game against Newcastle United. So perfect time. Subscribe to the Anfield Wrap. And obviously, an absolutely joyous time to be a Liverpool fan. Thanks a lot to Gareth, to Robbie, and to Chloe, and for Neil for doing the inserts as well. Up the Reds. Enjoy your Thursday evening. I know you will. Sports Social Podcast Network.